From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of March, USDA Report Day 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And then later in the program, Matt Bennett of TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, out of Windsor, Illinois, will join us to take a look at the cash grain markets. Along the way, we'll check in on those USDA reports released this morning. As we wrap up our half-hour program, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt should join us, agricultural meteorologist, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In Chicago, from the CME Group, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the May wheat at $7.63 1/4, up 36. July, $7.99 1/4, 36 higher. And September wheat at $8.38, that finished 36 3/4 higher. The July hard red in Kansas City at $9.18 1/2 a bushel, up 45 3/4 cents. May corn futures marched 30 cents higher. That's up the limit today. $6.93 1/4, the settlement price. July at $7.00 1/2, up 30. September at $7.55 1/4, up the 30-cent limit. And December futures of next year, 30 cents higher as well, at $6.25 1/4. It's not until you get out to the December 2012 contract that they didn't trade 30 cents higher. It was at $5.77 1/2, up 26 1/4. The May soybeans at $14.10 1/4, up 38 1/4 today. July at $14.21, 38 1/4 higher. And August futures, $14.19 1/4, up 37 1/2. The September soybeans at $14.06 1/4, 33 3/4 higher. November beans, $13.95, up 31 1/2. May bean meal at $3.70, up $10.20. The May bean oil at $58.78, up 146. Livestock finished the live cattle futures at $121.55 in the Aprils, up a buck. March feeder cattle at $134.02 1/2, 47 1/2 cents higher. The April futures there at $137.80, up 32 1/2. And April lean hogs today at $93.72 1/2, 17 1/2 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby May crude oil at $106.72 a barrel, up $2.45. Ethanol at $2.65 6/10, up 18 cents on the day. Natural gas at $4.39 6/10, up 4 1/10 of a cent. The RBOB traded $3.10 7/10, up 4 3/10. And the diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.08 9/10 a gallon, up a nickel even. Gold futures at $1,438.90 an ounce, up $15.10. The Dow's down just about a dollar, about 1 point at this hour, at 12,348 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area, they say partly sunny skies today, a high near 50 degrees, calm winds. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain, that after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, with a low of just 34 degrees, light and variable winds. And Friday, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy, a high near 52. West-southwest winds at 6 to 9 miles an hour. They'll increase to between 14 and 17 tomorrow and could gust as high as 21. By the time we get tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 34. Northwest winds at 11 to 17. They'll gust as high as 21. And Saturday night should show us mostly sunny skies, the high near 53 degrees. West-northwest winds between 11 and 17. They'll gust as high as 25. On Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 55. Monday, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy, a high near 63. Tuesday, a chance of showers and cloudy, a high of just 45 degrees. And by the time we get to Wednesday, should be mostly sunny, a high near 57 degrees. More on the ag weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi-O Silver, Todd.
That's the new call, Hi-O Silver. Let's go through the numbers as they came out from the United States Department of Agriculture this morning, and then we'll talk about them. Of course, the quarterly grain stocks in the report is the one most people have in the front of their mind at this point. USDA says 6.523 billion bushels of corn were on hand as of March the 1st. The average trade guess was 6.69. Last year, that was a 7.69 number. Soybeans at 1.249. The average trade guess at 1.299. And last year was a 1.27. So that's pretty similar to where we were last year, about halfway in that range. And then if you look at the planting intentions report, the United States Department of Agriculture says U.S. farmers reported to them. And remember, this is a survey of only farmers, I think about 80, 85,000. Of them. They say they'll plant 92.178 million acres of corn. The average trade guess was 91.8, and soybeans at 76.6, average trade guess at 76.87. Dan, it was the grain stocks report that started the fire this morning, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. And basically what those numbers tell us, especially corn, and of course that's why corn locked the limit, is that the market has a work to do in slowing demand if we're going to get to the finish line without bringing everybody to a screeching halt. So the number there at 6.5 billion bushels, the trade was looking at something around 6.7. And, you know, we're using roughly 1.125 billion bushels a month. So if you start with March 1st and you add 6 months, we actually need 6.750 to get to September 1st, and that would be zero ending stocks on September 1st. So you can see that the market's got some work to do when we only got 6.522 billion left.
Well, let's talk about that flag out there once we get to the end of the marketing year. You say if we keep using it at the pace we have, we'll use it all up and we'll be at zero in the bin, nothing left. Right now, that number is exactly the same as that ending stock number is exactly the same as what you suggest we would be using, or 675 million bushels. 675 represents 5%. Of that's the 5% usage number, right?
No, if you multiply 1.25 by 6, you use 6.750 billion between now and
right.
End of August.
Right. I'm
and
sorry.
And USDA says we only got 6.5, so we're actually short.
We're short. Well, here's the question. So the ending stocks, they'll number currently, and until we change it, it's still 6.75.
Oh, it's going to be changed.
Well, do you think that is the case, or that number is 5%, right? And I don't think historically we've ever gone to a stocks-to-use ratio below 5%.
Well, it'll be interesting how they work it. Like I said, I've been kind of in the opinion that actually ending stocks need to be closer to what our monthly usage is. So I kind of thought maybe ending stocks need to be about a billion bushels before it's all said and done. So that means that we've got a lot of work to do. Now, we're going to have a certain amount of bushels come in from the new crop year that's going to creep in prior to September 1st. But it's going to be an interesting 3 to 4 months here. I mean, the grain trade is kind of positioned, basically, I think, end users across the board ever since they saw the October crop report last fall was to accumulate cash inventories. And so I think that the end user crowd is covered anywhere from, you know, 60 to 90 days out. They got some coverage, but the big trick now is going to be how one is going to get their hands on the cash commodity come July and August, and then that could be aggravated some if we have a delayed planting.
Right. So here we are. So we're at either 675 or zero as ending stocks, but it doesn't matter very much because we've got to ration it out at some point. The livestock users have very high livestock prices at this point. Don't look like they're going to cut back.
I think USDA could probably back off on that feed usage number. I think they're probably a little high on that feed usage number. But, you know, corn exports, look at our sales this morning, about 2 million tons. So, you know, corn demand after starting off slow on the export front for the marketing year is now just catching on fire, whereas the beans were on fire early, and that's beginning to slow now with South America.
Well, where does the market go from here?
Well, there are some pretty lofty numbers up there that technicians can kind of put on the dartboard, depending upon, you know, which application you want to use. But, I mean, it looks to me, anyway, that we're going to go in and make some new highs for the year. And the lead option futures, I think, is up here around 735. Tonight's synthetics basically had May futures up another 30. So we're going to get, if that is followed through, then we're going to be right up against the yearly high. Now, Dease corn made a new high for the year here today at 6.25, but there wasn't really much, you know, up in that. But if front end goes up 30, Dease is going to follow along on that. But, yeah, we're going to make new highs. And then, of course, and as soon as you make new highs, then we're going to be right up against the 750 level. And then we'll have to kind of see what happens. But there's a lot of technicians now throwing around 8.25, 8.35 as their next target on spot corn.
Did you take a look at the pool that was available at 30 cents higher? It was, I think, for the nearby May and maybe the July, it was 120 and 100,000 contracts at one point during the day.
Well, those can be misleading. they can be misleading, so you got to be a little careful on that. They can dry up or they can build up. Everybody's on electronic platform now, and people will play games with those bid and offers, and they can be a little misleading. But there is no doubt that I think there's people wanting to own July futures. They're not necessarily going to want to own May. I mean, they may want to own May, but July is going to be the big number one they want because they're going to buy July futures and then stand for delivery. So your river markets that got cash corn are going to be kind of in the driver's seat because that's where the delivery systems are as we get into late summer. And then, you know, anybody interior that needs cash corn is going to have to buy it off the river, put it on a rail, and rail it to wherever they want to go. So, I mean, and there's a lot of difference between owning paper and owning actual cash physical commodity, and that's what's going to be tough is getting your hands on the actual physical commodity, I think, during July and August.
Right. So we need to deal with this in two separate ways. I suppose it's, and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, but it's safe enough to say if you're a producer and you have old crop corn, pick your spot and hang on and play Vegas with it and don't worry about it.
Yeah, they've already played Vegas and they've won. They probably own the strip by now.
but then we have to worry a little bit about new crop and what they want to do with it because, of course, we've got a crop that's going in the ground. We've got slightly more acres than acreage, not much, but slightly more than what the average trade guess was. Where does that shake out?
Well, 92 is not. I mean, I know people would want to kind of make 92 bearish, but it's not. I mean, the only time it would be bearish, I suppose, if we go through the roof on a yield. I mean, if we happen to come up with 180 bushel national average, well, then maybe 92 million is too low. But if you talk about 100 and 62 to 167, depending upon where you want to put your number at. I mean, that just gives us enough to kind of get by. So there's going to be a lot of worry about how that crop goes in the ground. If you look at your planting and intentions number, the Dakotas were increasing corn acres, and it doesn't look like they're going to be planting corn anytime soon up there. So even that 92 number is, I think, suspect, depending upon how this spring weather pattern plays out.
Did you take a look at how those acres were spread? I was traveling pretty sharply across the state. I was in Monmouth at 11 o'clock yet this morning. There are a lot of anhydrous rigs running, by the way, between here and between Champaign and Monmouth. But did you take a look at how the corn acreage were spread across the Midwest in those 10 primary producing states?
Well, the fringe areas basically are showing the increase. You didn't. I haven't had time to really look at the numbers. I did print off the individual state numbers. I was going to take a look at those before tonight's meeting.
Right.
But I think you saw most of it is coming in from the fringe areas. There is some increases in the minor area, but if I'm not mistaken, I think we might even had,
You look it up.
Some of them were even lower, I think, than what they were maybe expected. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, we'll be in Lincoln tonight, you and I and Jackie Bakes and Pete Manhart. We're at the Logan County Extension Fairgrounds. We're at the Extension Building on the Logan County Fairgrounds. That's at Route 66. I suppose if you're on the tractor this afternoon and you're putting anhydrous on, it might be worthwhile to shut it off and make the trip from wherever you are, as long as you can listen to us, to come see that particular rink, get an idea where you might start your marketing plan for the new crop year. It should be a fun one. And Dan, you're saying high-o silver for corn. What about soybean?
Oh, I think you got to get on the same horse. this horse is pretty strong. Now the we're going to lose our export demand on beans. I mean, we're losing demand on that, and these higher prices ain't necessarily going to do us any good. But what it shows, though, with the acres and the tight stocks that we're going to end up with this marketing year, is that actually beans need to get in the game and try to attract some more acres. And I think everybody's still generally suspect whether or not we can attain USDA's estimates. When they did the World Outlook Board, and now whether or not we're going to maybe attain some of these statistical survey acre estimates. So the race is really on. I mean, cotton, the race is on for cotton acres. The race is on for corn acres and bean acres and wheat acres. So actually, I think the 500 for the acreage battle has just kind of begun here now. Depending on how this weather opens up for us in the next couple of weeks, because one goes up, the other one's going to have to catch up if it doesn't want to lose too many acres. And worldwide, we really don't have no surplus of anything. You look at your outside markets, as long as your central bankers are printing currencies or devaluing their individual currencies, these commodity prices are going to have higher numbers on it. You got crude oil up 2.5. It kind of looks like crude oil's headed to 120. Gold's up 11. Looks like gold's ready to take on $1,600 gold. So you can really map out some pretty good bullish numbers here over the next 60 to 90 days, depending upon how this currency thing plays out.
All right. Well, more to talk about tonight, right?
Very well. Yep.
Okay. We'll see you then. 7
o'clock.
Okay,
Todd.
Mm-hmm. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Dan and Jackie Vakes and Pete Manhart will be at the Logan County Fairgrounds, the U of I Extension Building located there on Route 66 in Lincoln, Illinois, tonight at 7 o'clock. If you want to come, that one's open and free to everybody. Shut down the tractor and get off the anhydrous rig and come over, and we'll talk about the markets and what the USDA reports did with those three. Again, that's this evening in Lincoln at the Logan County Fairgrounds at the Extension Building. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Thanks, Matt, for hanging on with us this afternoon. We do appreciate you taking the time today. So, what did the grain bids at the elevator do?
Well, everything was up the limit on the corn as far as cash and fall goes. And, clear out through summer of 12 contracts on the board were up the limit. So You know, right now we've got several people putting bids in to maybe take advantage of the overnight market going up another 25 to 30, 40 cents, depending on what the estimations are. So I don't know. Nobody's really selling anything right now. They're kind of putting their offers in for the overnight.
You think there's enough grain out there for us to get to, well, I don't know, to July or to August,
all the way to
September?
I think there is. I mean, I've said this all along. It makes it a little more of an issue this spring on timeliness of planting. You know, if we stay cool and maybe we have some areas where we don't get planted nearly as quickly, I think the market might be a little bit edgy because of the tightness of the situation. So, you know, who knows? If we would happen to push planting back 3 weeks, it probably would be a little more of a big deal than what it is a lot of years.
Have any argument with the acreage figures as they came out?
Oh, not really. It's awfully tough to say right now. I still think, just as in any spring, there's several swing acres. And I think, you know, moves like this today certainly will probably entice more corn acres. So, you know, I think the 92.2 is probably going to change, you know, especially if we have another, you know, 30, 40, 50 cents run up here in the next few days. I mean, guys are getting ready to get in the field. They can still make decisions. So I don't really have any problems with the acreage figures, and I do expect them maybe to change just a little bit between now and June.
Put your farmer hat on. Will you be making new crop sales for corn or beans anytime soon?
Well, it's kind of a wait-and-see approach for me. We're around 30% sold on stuff already, and you know, we have a pretty good insurance put option put in place because we bought an 85% put option basically on the insurance. So, oh, I don't know. You know, we get up a whole lot over the 601 price, which we closed at 625 today, and we're looking at, you know, a little bit more on the overnight because of the synthetics. I don't know. I would go ahead and make 5-10% here and there, but I'm not ready just yet. I wouldn't mind seeing if this Deese makes a run at the 650 here in the next couple, three trading sessions. If it does, I'd probably go ahead and move another 5-10%.
I know that you have been through this kind of run, expected run, I suppose, in the corn going higher in 2008 as a grain elevator operator. Do you think the grain elevator operators are better positioned this time around to make this rationing run?
Most certainly. I think that the whole industry is better off. I think the education of the banking industry is even better than what it was before. Most of the banks that the people are working with are a little more aware of the situation, and the credit lines, you know, have been adjusted accordingly. I think most guys are ready for this sort of market, and, you know, it could get awfully interesting seeing this morning dropping the stocks the way they did. Really anything is possible whenever you move into springtime and trying to get the corn crop planted. So I don't know if we're going to make all-time highs or not, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we did.
Which end user comes under most pressure?
Oh, gosh, it's tough to say. You know, the ethanol industry here in the last couple, 3 weeks got ramped up and going again, at least as far as the bushels they were chewing through. It's tough to say. With the dollar dropping the way that it is, you know, one would think that export market might still stay fairly strong. I guess my pick, considering those two things, would probably be the livestock producer. It's got to be under a little bit of pressure, you know, looking at $7 cash corn and above at this point.
You have bids for the day?
Yeah, right now my bids for cash corn would be 673, and again, I want everyone to keep in mind that you know, we're calling for as much as another 30-cent higher move on the overnight. So keep that, you know, take that with a grain of salt. And then 585 for fall corn. My cash bid on beans would be 1383, and my fall bid would be 1353.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's Tater Day. The celebration started in 1842 or 1843 as a time when town folk in Benton, Kentucky would get together and trade sweet potatoes. Farmers from the countryside would bring their taters to town to sell or trade. Nowadays in Benton, The celebration is a three-day event, complete with parade, carnival, baking, canning, and fiddling competitions, and gospel singing. It's also Oranges and Lemons Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1814, John Limebeck patented the cottonseed hulling machine. In 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the U.S. for the first time. The idea was sponsored by the Daylight Savings Association. New York Senator William M. Calder introduced the bill to Congress on 17 April 1917. It was initially defeated, but subsequently passed by a roll call on 27 June 1917. The concept had originally been introduced in Great Britain as a fuel-saving measure during wartime. In 1945, Lewis Ralph Jones died on this date. Jones was an agricultural botanist and one of the nation's most distinguished plant pathologists. Jones studied enhanced control of potato diseases and increased yield. And in 1989, chefs from Japanese restaurants in New York, after a long debate, persuaded the FDA to allow them to import and serve Japanese blowfish. The chefs had to attend special classes to protect their customers from poisoning. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. When you do, you'll see in our calendar that this evening I'll be in Lincoln, Illinois, on the Logan County Fairgrounds, the U of I Extension building there at 7 o'clock. It says Gary Schnitke will be with us. He had to be called away, actually was called away, to work with RMA in Kansas City. In his stead, Pete Manhart will make it along. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group will be there, too. We'll talk about the commodity markets and this morning's USDA reports. That's tonight at 7 o'clock on the University of Illinois Extension building grounds, which are on the fairgrounds, actually, in Logan County in Lincoln, Illinois. It's out old Route 66. It's open and free to everybody. So come on out and get your questions answered about this morning's reports and what you might want to or not to do as we move forward through the marketing year.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Here's what the weather forecast looks like for this afternoon as it comes from the National Weather Service for the day. Partly sunny skies in the area, high near 50 degrees. It'll be calm in terms of wind. The tonight, 40% chance of rain, that after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 34, and light and variable winds. And Friday, 40% chance of rain again, cloudy, a high near 52. West-southwest winds at 6 to 9, they'll increase to 14 to 17 miles an hour. Could gust as high as 21, and they will gust as high as 21 this evening, or Friday evening, that is. It'll be mostly cloudy then, a low of 34 degrees, northwest winds at 11 to 17, again gusting all the way up to 21. And on Saturday, mostly sunny skies in the area of Urbana-Champaign, the U of I, a high near 53 degrees, west-northwest winds between 11 and 17. They'll gust as high as 25. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 37. On Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 55 degrees. And on Sunday night, a chance of showers, cloudy, a low around 50. Monday will be the warmest of the days, coming up in the near term anyway. 63 degrees then, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two. It will be mostly cloudy then, and then Monday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 38 degrees. Once again, if you have the opportunity, please do drop by the Lincoln-Logan County Fairgrounds this evening, U of I building. I'll be there at 7 o'clock along with Dan and Jackie and Pete. We'll take up the agricultural commodity markets and that USDA report from this morning. I was traveling during the day today in Monmouth as late as 11 o'clock, so it was a fast trip back from there at the research facility that belongs to the U of I. The farm's doubled in size, and they're now 360 acres, thanks to the good folks in the Knox County area and the Galesburg-Monmouth area for stepping up to the plate and making sure that that research farm continues to function well into the future, probably indefinitely, as they've given the research farm itself a way to be sustained economically and bettered the opportunity for agricultural commodities to be looked at and researched right there in the western part of Illinois. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.